It's always a real privilege for me to come to the house of the Lord. And I have a lot to say, seen a lot of things. God has made known to me a lot of things in my lifetime. Jesus said one time, I have much to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. And then he said to other people, he said, having ears, you don't hear. You don't hear. Though I speak to you, though I preach to you, he said, you don't really hear me. And he said, having eyes, though you're looking right at me, he said, you don't see. You really don't see. And he spoke of God being in their midst, and he said, as God stood in their midst, he said, you've never seen him at any time. And yet the Bible emphatically states that he was the personification of Almighty God in the fullness. But he said, you've never seen him at any time. For it was said, in great light is spring up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. Said, but blinded by the ignorance that is within them, that is to say, the spirit of foolishness instilled within them from their birth, intellectual misconcept, darkness, ignorance. But there he stood as Almighty God. He said, this great light has sprung up. For it shall come to pass that in the evening time there shall be light. And great light has sprung up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. But they could not comprehend this light because they're children of intellectual darkness. They're scholars of intellectual reasoning, of carnality, which means natural desire and human concept of human logics. But you know, that's all right as to those things. They have their place. But then on the other hand, there are children that belong to the kingdom, and they belong to God. And they're supposed to be so different. So different until, if I had time to express it as the hours, to put it in detail and in word, it would be frightening to you when you think of the church and you think of the people. But anyway, this light has shined. Children of light, they comprehend the heights. They comprehend the depths. They comprehend the length. They comprehend the width of this great miraculous thing. And a lot of times in preaching, we say, well, someone got a revelation. Someone got an enlightenment. Somebody saw something. And that is true, because we know in part, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do that. See, but on the other hand, is that what this is about? That somebody's going to get a revelation, somebody's going to get an inspiration, that somebody's going to see something that they didn't see before? Now, see, that's not what it's about. Though we do that, and we do understand that. But that is only a little divine precipitation as to catching a peek or a little view of the invisible world. Because this thing that you call revelation, where you pick up something in your understanding and then you pick up something else in your understanding, see, that's not what it's all about. Though it is to us as that, because we know in part. But it is only to stir us in our ego for God that we should see something, and then we start digging. It's like a man that he's a prospector and he finds a little piece of gold. He's looked for 10 years. He hasn't found any gold, and all of a sudden he finds just a little bit of gold. And this stirs his enthusiasm to really want to dig in that spot or to want to pan in that stream, because he knows that he's really found something and he feels he struck it rich. And sure enough, if you ever see one of these things I'm speaking of, you've struck it rich. Because eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time those things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. All the Einsteins of the world has never even caught a glimpse of it. So, that's what it's all about, that we should discover. But folks, there is a world, a complete spirit world, a complete celestial world. There is, beyond the veil of your human concept, there is a world. And this is not life. And this present thing that you look on as the world. This is not life. This is vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity, the preacher said. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All of these things that you see, even your own image, it emanated from somewhere. It came from somewhere. All these things that you are so carried away with, you're so fascinated with, that you're so fastened to. That is to say, the creature, even the body, being made subject to the vanities of the world, by reason of Christ Jesus. Not of our own desire are we subject to these things, but subjected to these things by reason of him. Even God, the great Holy Spirit, the eternal light, that is subjected the same in hope. That is to say, the body has to come through a process to a change to make us into Godship. A lot that we'd have to say about those things, because it takes so much to detail just a few things. For great is the mystery. Paul said, the mystery was made known unto me, and being the overseer of the church, it was to be made known to the church, not given to them that are without. I remind you so often, and they said, why do you speak to these people in parables? Why is it a parabolic approach to these people, seeing that they don't understand what you're saying? He said, simple. It's not given unto them to know. And here's a man preaching the gospel, walking the earth by the name of Jesus. And he's a man just like I'm a man. But he's walking the earth, he's in the midst of the people, and he's here and he's there and he's everywhere and he's saying things, and he said, You don't hear my words because you're not my sheep. And they were confounded. They thought, so insulting to our integrity. Well, we're great Bible scholars like Paul. Look how mighty we are. We know all about religion. Aren't we God's choice of people? He said, you don't even hear me. You're not my sheep. If you were my sheep, you would hear me. And they said, but we be children of Abraham. We're not fornicators. He said, if you were children of Abraham, you would love me. Said, Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it. And they were confounded. They couldn't understand. And on he went, this great, mighty Lord Jesus. Just like the other night when we were praying, the other morning, the Lord gave us a visitation. I heard a voice say, the hoofs of thunder. And then it went on. I felt the inspiration of God begin to move. And then I heard a voice say, I'll ride this trail again. And of course, the song was born out of that. I'll ride this trail again. But I thought how great and mighty the people are. Let me say this. In Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. You've read it many, many times. And I was going to this morning, I was really going to talk on a little sermonette about faith. And whether I do or don't, I don't know. I come up here and I don't know. I can't do anything except as the Spirit shows me to do something. Or if I be born of the Spirit, which the Bible said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I come up here, and if there is a spirit, and there is, and if it's an invisible force that is present, like David said, like the wind, you can't tell where it comes from, you can't tell where it goes. On the day of Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind it came, filled all the house, set upon each one of them as cloven tongues of fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. See, I come here, and if there be a spirit, if I be a spirit man, if I'm led by the Spirit, then whatever the Spirit has to say, that's what he will say, because I'm his body. And as I say, to live my life, it must be me. To live his life, it must be him. And so then to be born of his Spirit, to give him his body back to every thought. And then he does what he wants to. He says what he wants to. He goes where he wants to. And as a result of that, I'm just there. I said, Betty, I'm going such and such. All right. I said, we'll leave at 10 o'clock. All right. Sometimes I get a little repercussion, but most of the time, all right. And that's the way we are. See, that's the way we are to him, to fulfill his every desire, to be one with him, that it's not us living, but Christ Jesus living within us. And the life we live with the Son of God. And I say these things, and it would take hours just to explain these things. And like I tell my wife, I say, Betty, even this morning, I said, you know, it's really discouraging to go to the sacred desk. I said, because Though I have great inspiration, I said, yet not much inspiration as to go to try to tutor. I said, because the hunger, the lack of hunger, the thirst, whatever, I said, they don't see, they don't understand, and it's not there. Their eyes are not open. And yet I do know that they do see and they do understand, and that I know that they are receiving things. And this is the way it's supposed to be. I said, but I must feed my lambs, Betty. I said, I'm concerned about my lambs. And when I come up this morning, Brother Taylor was singing the song we wrote, Feed My Lambs, or Who's Going to Feed My Lambs. And I think, see, of all the things that's taking place, even like tonight when Levin Alive is showing, many of these things are supposed to be explained. They need to be explained. They need to be detailed. Why that I went up to the hospital? Why that this thing happened? It's like three or four fellows yesterday in the vehicle where we was traveling. And they were listening, and naturally, when I go somewhere, when something happens, there's great discussion, there's great surmisings, and they draw their conclusions, which is normal. People are supposed to do that. What else can they do? See, but then their misconcept is so great. And yesterday, as some brethren pressed on me in the spirit, then I began to elaborate as to what took place. And they were literally shocked. They expressed themselves to let me know that when the Spirit spoke and told what it was, so that wasn't the way it was at all with us discussing it and our concept of it. And they were literally shocked because they suddenly realized how great and mighty it was and what had taken place. And and that's why David said what he did up here about, I hope Dad will at least elaborate a little bit on this because he was present. And indeed, it is phenomenal and it is wonderful. It is unbelievable. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. But see, because we judge after the outward appearance, we don't judge righteous judgment. We don't understand. And all these things must be. They must be. There's a reason for all of this. And if we had time this morning, I definitely would go through this with you and I'd tell you, I'd explain to you. But we don't have time as human beings. We don't have time. Our mind is programmed. We're pressed. We are hyper in our exuberance for the world and the things that we must do and the goals that we must make and what we must be, not realizing that all of that is but childish and that all of that is nothing, and that soon you'll be used up your years and you'll be used up your time. And you won't have done nothing, and you won't have been nothing, and you won't be anything, and there won't be any refurbishing, and there won't be any reimbursing. See, and all of your life will be gone. And you'll suddenly say, my God, I've been a fool. Where's my life? What have I done with my life? See, my life was supposed to be such and such. I just knew that I was supposed to be such and such. And now look at me. And someone would say, well, that's just the tragedy of life, Brother Pike, the calamity of life. Some people are supposed to be it, and some people aren't supposed to be it. Some people are to be great and mighty, and they're to be celebrities, and they are to be a statesman, that is, and all these great things in a world of celebrity, or they are to be some entertainers, or they're to be rich. They're to be great men of science and whatever. No, that's not the way it is at all. All of that is a hallucination. All of that is vanity. All of that must be, but it only must be as to the shadows. Every individual is ordained to the great leadership and sonship and godship of Almighty God. That's why they have a feeling that they're supposed to be something special and they're supposed to do something special. And that's why they're so disappointed and they kill themselves. And they just go all to pieces when they realize their youth is gone, their life is gone. They say, my God, I'm nothing, I'm a nobody. See, and they look around and they say, now look at that fellow, look at that woman. See, but it's still a misconcept. It is indeed instilled within you that you're to be something great and mighty. How great? The greatest of all greats. You are to excel to the highest of all heights. You're the unlimited as to faith. Say what you will. Believe it. Don't doubt. It'll happen. See, you are the very sons and daughters of Almighty God. What is greater than that? But though you be gods, Jesus said, you shall die like men from the lack of knowledge. That is from the lack of application toward the right thing, from the lack of study, the understanding of giving yourselves to the meditations of God, of having time for God, of laying aside the world, of getting out of the exuberance of the flesh and the drive and the lust of these things, of the human senses to which you're subjected for purpose. See, and you don't have time to do that. You don't have time to do that. My heart is enlarged. See, I wish we could explain. I wish we could tell you. We don't have the time to do that. See, but that's why you're disappointed. That's why you go the way you go. And that's why you do what you do. Is God respect a person? Does he love me better than you, or does he love you better than me? Didn't he create you? Why would he create you a nobody and create somebody else a somebody? God doesn't do that. He said, here it is. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely, let him come and partake freely. He that's without money, let him come anywhere. It doesn't have anything to do with that. See, he said, say what you will, believe what you will, according to your faith, be it unto you. Many times they come to Jesus and they said, Lord, will you heal me? Or Lord, will you do these things for me? And Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? Because he was a man, and he was talking to a man or a woman. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Oh, yes, Lord. He said, well, according to your faith. If that's what you believe, that's what you can have. According to your believing. You understand, folks, though we would like to go through it, though we'd like to really minister to you, preach a sermon on it, explain it, detail it, to make it so vivid to your understanding. But I'm simply saying, who hath limited the situation? Who hath limited your life? Who has caused such an offset in your life? Why is this disappointment there? Why is the whole world going down the drain in this filth of the flesh, and the government just literally falling? You couldn't imagine what today has to do with. Though there's no special days with God, there's no special times with God, there's no special seasons with God, because it's always as with God. But the thing is, in our world, there's times and seasons and refreshing and all these things. So then we place it over here that we'll be over here on a Sunday. We'll go to church and up here. On a Monday, we'll be on our job. And over yonder, we'll be at the dentist and wherever and whatever, you know. But not with God. That's just our program. See, and then I say again, where is the shortcoming? Where is the problem? Where is the problem? Do we really have a problem? Does an individual have a problem? Folks, before God, I tell you, my hand be raised to heaven, though you might judge. Whatever you want to judge, you don't understand. I don't have any problems. Christians don't have problems. Someone would say, oh, bless God, Brother Pike, I know that Christians have. Oh, no, Christians don't have any problem. As to a problem with a Christian, if you want to define something as a problem, he would have one problem, that would be unbelief. If he was an unbeliever. But a Christian is an unbeliever, so he doesn't have any problems. See, so as to unbelief, that's where your problem is. Say what you will, it'll be that way. Believe what you will, ask what you will. Your desire of heart, I give it to you. I make you rich. I have no sorrow. It is the Lord God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. What is it you want? Just say it. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Decree the thing in your heart as to what you're going to be, as to what you want to be. Get away from the lust of the flesh, and don't misconceive and don't misuse. Don't do that. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss to consume it on your lust. It's a fleshly ambition. It's a natural exuberance. It's a satanic thing of giving that body and that image that God hates. You give that image to the devil. You've taken the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've given it to the devil, to the mind of lust and covetousness and gullibleness, to sit under a TV and watch non-virtuous things and to fill yourself with the husk that the swine eat. And you give yourself to those things, just to the magazines and to the frolics and to the clothings and the money and the education, all these kinds of things. That's repulsive to Almighty God, which is his enemy, that he keeps looking at. And he says, the body is the Lord's, and the dispute is over the body, and the body belongs to the Lord. Why do you do that? Why do you press yourself to college and school and all of the stuff that's out there in the world, knowing that that's wrong, knowing that it's contrary, knowing the more carnal you become and the more that you are in that realm, that the greater enemy that you are with God? Why do you seek fellowship and friendship with the world out there, when the Bible said he that is a friend to the world is an enemy to God? Why do you do that? Which brings a little thought to my mind, like, A sister was telling me the other day, was just talking in the conversation, and she was making a statement. She said, you know, it reminds me when I married into a certain family. Said the mother-in-law, said, I wanted her favor so much. Said, I'd done everything I possibly could to get her favor. Said, and it went on for a number of years, and she couldn't get her favor. And said, one day, said, it struck me. And said, well, now, wait a minute. Why do I want her favor? Said, I don't even like her. See, and that's the thing. Why do we want to give ourselves to the devil? Why do we want to give ourselves to the things of the world? Why do we want to line up with the world and be a friend of the world and make ourselves to fit with the world and the exuberance of the world and their way of life? Why? I don't even like the world. So then if you're a child of God, you don't even like the world. Why are you trying to do that? You know that they're your enemy and you know that they're out to kill you. Like I told somebody the other day, they talk about all the televisions, interviews and all these kind of things. And I said, you know, I said, I'm not trying to please the world. I said, I'm not trying to project myself a little Bethlehem or our ministry to the world out there that those people might learn to like us and to prove our point to them. I said, the world is not looking for the truth. How can I prove truth to the world as to the benefit of them that are out in the world? See, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to be a light so that the children of light that's all mixed up and intermingled with that bunch of folks out there can see this light, and the Bible said come out from among them and be a separate people. And indeed, if they're children of light, they'll come out of there. See, I'm not trying to prove anything to them because they don't want truth. They want to destroy me and they want to destroy you. The Bible said they went about talking among themselves, said, how can we destroy this Jesus? They want to destroy Bethlehem. They don't want anything like this. This vexes them, like the Bible speaks of the tribulation period when the two prophets will be preaching, and the Bible said their message shall literally vex them that dwell on the earth. They're tormented by the message of these two prophets. See, I'm not trying to do that. What do you want with the world? You know, you're wanting something out of the world. That's why you're wanting to fellowship the world. And you're looking for businesses and you're looking for places in the world. And you're wanting to take your inheritance on the other side of Jordan. You know, and you don't want to get over that carnal mind of death to put that behind you. To self-denial, though the outer man perish, the inner man may be renewed day by day. To bring this body under subjection. The dispute is over the body. The dispute is over the body. We're disputing, the devil is disputing with God over the body. This body belongs to God. This is the temple of God. Why let Satan, as that which sitteth within the temple of God, show himself to be God and control all things and keep you in bondage as children of God? Why do you want to do that? This is the body of Christ Jesus. This is flesh of his flesh. This is bone of his bone. I'm dead as to the natural birth by Calvary. I'm not alive anymore. I'm gone forever. I'm not even here anymore. Like David said, that world is gone. At death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. I left that years ago. See, why do I want to go back to the old carcass of laying outside of the road somewhere and it's all bubbled up and it's rotten and the stench and the buzzards are feeding off of it? Why do I want to go to that? Them that live in trespasses and sin, they're dead while they live, twice dead, plucked up by the root. And I want to go out there to get that stench on me. I want to go to the hog wallow. I want to get out there in the old mire and wallow with them in that intellectual thing that they think is such a great thing when they're nothing but swine and dogs lapping vomit. And I go out there and I know that. They don't know it's vomit. They don't know it's mire. That's their heaven. That's their place. They don't know that. They're not given a mind to know that. But folks, you're sons and daughters of God. Why should a man go down to a hog pen and get in the hog pen and wallow in the mire? That doesn't make any sense at all. Someone would say, well, I can see that. You can see that naturally, but why can't you see that spiritually? Why did God make a hog? Why did God make a dog? To show these things symbolically. Otherwise, there'd have been no need for a hog and a dog. See, but why don't we understand these things allegorically? Why don't we perceive? Jesus said in preaching to them, have you yet your heart hardened that you don't understand what I'm saying? See, as to your conceit, your way of life, your exuberance, your... Like I said to my wife this morning, if somebody was talking to, I said, they've just got in a rut. Their routine of life. That's what it is. And the old Indian death march until they die. That's kind of like the interviewers that come out here and they talk with us, like the Carmen came out the other day, and they talk with us, and the different ones, they do this all down through our life, papers and whatever. See, and they say, we want an interview. I talk with them. And then when we finish, you know, I look at them, and suddenly something happens to them. And I think, you come here for an interview, and you thought because you got through the doors of the gates, you had an interview. I said, but what really happened to you when you got your eyes open and Christ opened your eyes of understanding and all of a sudden you looked on the inside of the heart and into the spirit world and something in you leaped up and said, my God. I said, that's an interview. You got a view of the innermost and saw that it isn't at all like you thought it was. Like when Carmen come down there and when we got through, I said, well, now we're going to pray. And she just looked at me kind of strange like. I said, have you ever had an experience with the Lord? She acknowledged she never had, that it was foreign to her. I said, well, we're going to pray. So we got up and we joined hands and we prayed. And I could feel as the Spirit of God came down and the anointing come down. She just broke up. And on the inside, something went past her. Her, what the world calls an intestinal fortitude, it got past her shell, it got past this thing of the front and went right down inside of her, and she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't stop it. She didn't know what it was, and all of a sudden, her spirit coming just broke all to pieces, just humble like a little child. See, what is that? That's getting into what we're saying. Same thing applies here, folks. See, here we are. We come to church. Do we really get into that which God has called us into? No, we sing and we clap our hands and we do all kind of things. But in all reality, when the Lord comes to talk with us, do we really see? Having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not. But nevertheless, wisdom is justified of her children. There are some. See, and Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as spirituals. I cannot. I would like to. I'm your overseer. I would like to be spiritual. I'd like for you to hear me as one that is speaking to you about spiritual things because I'm your overseer. It's not me living. It's Christ, and Christ is a spirit. See, and God is a spirit, and that world is spirit. And to walk in the spirit, to understand the spirit. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. So then, as we say, the dispute being over the body, my, what we could say about that, how beautiful it would be. Even with David Paul being up here this morning, Dale, and some things that's taking place, take hours to detail it. But if you could only understand, if you could only understand, if you could only understand how beautiful it would be, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Well, we've been said about all that we've got time to say this morning. And I can tell with all that we've said, though you've received it real good, you know, and whatever you've heard, yet, we borderline to where there was no real entering into it at all. But nevertheless, we've had church, we've had a refreshing, things has happened. Be sure that this morning has a great, mighty significance, and things that are happening, I say it so often, great and mighty things are taking place. Someone would say, well, I don't see any great and mighty thing, Brother Pike. Our government is crumbling and all these other things. We made the statement a year or so ago. I said, watch for the changes of the signs in the heaven, the signs in the government and all these things. I said, the whole thing will change about. Even as yesterday also had to do with the great significance this morning being the pivot point of it. But see what you're looking at. You're looking in the wrong direction. Jesus was there, walking among them. And they thought, well, who is this guy? I hear some philosopher here. And he said, show us a sign as to who you be. You know, and if you be a physician, heal yourself. And all these things the prophet said, they would say to him. And there he went. We know you, the carpenter's son. See, and yet great and mighty things was taking place. God Almighty was in a human form and about to die for the remission of sin to bring salvation and to bring eternal life. And there are great and mighty things was taking place, but they couldn't see anything except what they called a Jew and him a wine bibber, as far as they was concerned, and a friend of publicans. Satan having blinded their eyes that they should not see. Folks, how much greater is this moment? How much greater is this hour? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, are you telling me that this is a greater hour than when Jesus walked the earth? It is so far greater. So far greater. And you're telling me greater things is taking place? So far greater. So there must be a greater hour. There must be a greater moment. There must be a greater thing when we know him after the Spirit. And folks, indeed, Christ is here today. There's something that's taking place. If you could see into heaven, the way that I see into heaven, someone would say, well, I don't know about that. I know you don't know about that because you don't believe that you're an unbeliever, but it's happening anyway. They didn't believe it, but it was happening anyway. And these great and mighty things, as I said to my wife this morning, like the other day, David Paul, he got a hold of some spray, and he was spraying my head, and he said, Dad, let me try this stuff. So I never ever believed it would work. And because, you know, I'm bald on the top. So he said, let me put you on some hair. I said, no, David, I don't mess with that. And he said, just let me do it, Daddy. This one time. I said, okay. So he sprayed it. And when he got through, my wife, she said, I can't hardly believe this. My daughter or two was sitting there. And David said, it works. It works. I wouldn't believe this stuff would work, but it works. And there I was, you know, with a bushy head of hair like a squirrel. And someone said, Dad, you look 20 years younger. And I thought, well, I don't want to look 20 years younger. You know, somebody says, act your age. So I thought, well, you know, and finally, I was going to wash it out of my head, and I wound up down there visiting with the brethren because the time actually slipped up on me, and I didn't get to wash it out till over in the morning when everybody was asleep. You know, but I wanted my hair like it is. I wanted my head like it is. Someone said, well, Brother Pike, let's be honest about this. Wouldn't you just love to have a head full of hair? Wouldn't you just love to be 30 years younger? Well, now, there's a difference right there. When you say 30 years younger, I would say yes. Someone would say, well, now, wasn't that what they said, 20 years younger? No. They said, you look 20 years younger. That didn't make me 20 years younger. See, I would love to have, though I have plenty of strength, my strength is my day, but as you would say, you know, I'd have to be 30 years younger if there was any benefit to it for Christ, as I told my wife, and her 30 years younger, so we could go out and do things, but all the things we would do, we've already done. So see, I say, why would I want to be 30 years younger? If I go down by the seaside and I walk by the seaside with my wife and I'm feeling exuberant and I feel young and strong, you know, which I do anyway. But I go down by there and I say, well, I've already done this. You know, or I say, let's get us a new car. I've already done that. Anything that I want to get, I say, well, I've already done that, Betty. And I say, well, you know, you could hug and kiss me, but I've already done that. See, and we could raise a family, but I've already done that. See, and to me, that's a rut. To go back through all of that, to that would be a rut. Somebody would say, but you would be young, Brother Pike, and just think. See, all of the passions would be awakened in the human senses. I don't want to go through that wilderness. I don't want to be in that. I'm so glad to God to get out of some of that. See, I've found a life, folks, real life, wholesome life. Like Paul even said, it's to marriage. You know, if you're not married, don't seek a wife. Though there's nothing wrong with a wife. Multiply, replace the earth. It's beautiful. Don't you think that Brother Pike is trying to tarnish marriage or whatever? That's beautiful. You have your little home and do whatever. See, that's wonderful. See, but the thing is, Paul said, having no necessity, you know, I don't want a wife. I found something, folks, there's no words of expression for. There's no words to tell you what this is. Life, you don't have life, you know, as to your natural human senses. You don't understand life. That is a gullible lust that you can't differentiate as to between that and life. But I have life. I found life, and there is nothing to be compared with it. This pearl of great price will make you sell all that you've got. Nobody will have to constrain you to try to be religious and go through the religious routines of life, to go to church and to be part of some operation and try to act real pious as a sin. Well, I got to be holy because somebody's watching me. Folks, all that's foolishness. All that is nothing. You don't want to be caught in a realm like that. You want to get born again, serving God as joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. Why do I want to relate back to those things? I have all of those things. The abundance of youth and the abundance of life. Eternal existence. Anytime that I want to just turn it on. Oh, someone would say, oh no, Brother Pike. Well, how did Enoch turn it on when he got ready? How did Moses turn it on when he got ready? How did Elijah turn it on when he got ready? How did Paul turn it on when he got ready? How did John turn it on when he got ready and into the heavens and into the heavens and into the heavens? See, there's something you're missing. There's something you're missing because you judge according to the outward appearance. You've got your intellectual scholarship as preeminence in your mind and your program is wrong. And it'll always be wrong. And you'll never understand. For the wicked shall not understand. But ye that have an ear to hear, though ye be babes, being born of the Spirit, and may not understand these things, in that the meat belongs to the strong, they who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil. See, though you be babes, yet you still have it. You're still children of God. You still desire the sincere milk of the word. You are saved. Everything's going to be all right as we sing this song. So then, brothers and sisters, very precious, I'm just telling you, why do we want to relate to the body? Why do we want to mess with the body? The dispute is over the body. Why do we want to do that? Is it not because we are of the body and we are carnally minded and that's the only life we know and that's the jubilance we know and our profile is being youthful and our strength and our exuberance and our goals, which really is nothing. Paul said, with all my exuberance and my learning and my knowledge, my God, I've come to find out I'm less than nothing. And yet, in this, though that be dead now, it's not me living, but it's Christ. That is something. Well, anyway, let's stand together. Just a few little words of exhortation this morning to try to stimulate you and make you understand why that I say let's go on to something outside of clapping our hands and singing a song and coming to church and routine and buying and selling in businesses. And it's just so unreal that we are children of the living God. We are gods. We're sons and daughters. We're made to live forever. We are such that there's no words of description. There is nothing as to vocabulary expression that can detail or tell what we are and who we are and what this is all about. And someone would say, oh my God, it's just so far over my head, Brother Pike, it blows my mind. I can't understand nothing like that. That's why I don't relate to it. But though you be a babe, believe you me, it's like that. It's like Brother Pazin came to me yesterday. He said, you know, Brother Pike, he said, when you made the statement 10 million times 10 million or whatever it was, as you referred to it, or 200 million, ever how it was, he said, you know, he said, I believe that. He said, I believe that. He said, because I came to be with you and I heard these things, some of these things, and said, and I thought that I had them. And I thought that I knew them. And I thought, you know, I'm getting this thing. He said, and then something happened to me and all of a sudden this thing struck me and it dawned on me that I wasn't getting it. That I wasn't getting it. That it was altogether different. And said, then I began to get this thing and said, it really done something to me. And I could tell that it really had. As I talked to him, I could tell that. Like David said about the little illustration of the egg. See, folks, you really haven't got this until you become part of it and it becomes part of you. Until you become interwoven with it and it becomes interwoven with you. And that begins with Christ's spirit becoming interwoven with your spirit on the inside. And then everything's all right. And from then on, it's all going to be all right. Just sit steady in the boat, as we say. Don't worry, it's going to work out. And the way it's going to work out, through the transformation of your mind, is that diplomacy of change. You just sit steady, it's going to be there. But you that have never been born again, you don't have the mind of Christ. You don't have the spirit of Christ. You're none of his. Though you be ever so great as a scholar in knowledge, and though you be ever so young and exuberant, though whatever you might be, it's nothing. It's just nothing. It's vanity. All of it will end up with the worms. Nothing to it at all. Talents and skill and money, fame and popularity, exuberance. It's nothing. So help me God, it's nothing. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you just kill things. The way you talk, you kill things. All I'm doing is getting rid of the vanity, the lying vanities. Say, but can we be this and can we be that and still be a Christian? Be whatever you want to. Be whatever you want to. God has given it to you. Let every man have his own sovereignty. Let him do his own thing. No objection. I'm just telling you the right way. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what it's all about. Somebody in the world says, tell it as it is. I'm telling it like it is. So then that means that something is taking place that the world don't see, and the calamity of it is that it's right now. This is the great finale of it, and that's the detriment, is they waited too long. But I'm so happy. I wished I could explain. I wish we had time. I wish you could perceive. I wish you could know. And other than that, then we've had another sermonette this morning, and we've come to church, and Little Bethlehem moves on, and it will continue to move on because it's of God. The law hasn't been able to put it down. All of the people that have tried to come against it, they've not been able to put it down. It rises like the little ship out of the great waves, and it's greater and mighty and more mightier every day because it's predestined to reach its destination. It will never go down. But let's sing together, can we? Just believe me. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. All lies will have their part in the lake of fire. And people who exaggerate are some of the biggest kind of liars. So you can believe that what I'm saying is not the words of a fool to give my life to God and then to lie that I might have my part in the lake of fire. You can believe that I'm not a fool. You just reason in your own reasoning, and after a while, you'll be reasoning yourself clear out, because that's what it's all about. Satan's after your body. He's going to hold it, because that's what he wants, is those human senses and that frivolous thing of relating as to one species to another, because that's the only life he has. But folks, it's not that way with us at all. You can believe that. Just beyond the veil is... The voice said to William Branham one time, would you like to see beyond the veil? He said, it would mean so much to me. Beyond the veil, as Brother Taylor sings a song, for he hath rent the veil in two. Let angels bow down before him, for he hath rent the veil in two. The song we sing, long live the King, long live the King. Let's sing a little chorus together. What can I give him of all he has given? Oh, what can I give to the Lord? I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. Oh, what can I give to the Lord? Earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne. The cattle of a thousand years, my Lord, already on. And all that I have, it was his from the start. What can I give him? Lord, here's my heart. One more time. What can I give him of all he has given? Oh, what
can I give to my Lord? I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. Oh, what can I give to the Lord? For earth is His footstool, and heaven is His throne. The cattle of a thousand hills, my Lord, already own. And all that I have, that was His from the start. What can I to the Lord but my heart? The altars are open as we sing. I might not be able to sing too good. I wasn't supposed to be able to sing and preach at all for a long time. Though it cramps the style a little bit as to volume and thrust, still it's beautiful to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. What can you give Him? Do you have anything to give Him? Yes, there's something that you can give Him, and that is your heart. And the dispute is over the body. And you have the right to offer the body to whom you will. And this is what delights Him. A younger man, and he finds his bride, and she is the desire of his heart. She so thrills him that he doesn't want to do anything but be around her. Just think of her and love her. And she makes his world. See, and what can she give him? Her heart and her body. See, and that's what God wants. The great eternal spirit. Jesus gave his body to you and I. And our body that had, through the fallen of that of Adam, had to be destroyed because it became the image of that that God hated, even the image of his enemy. And now we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And all he is asking is for his body. Before the world ever was, there was some girl that was ordained for you if you have a wife. And it was in God before the world ever was. And you discovered her out of all the others. See, and all he's asking for is his body. He's the head of that body. And he'll return in the tribulation period as to the bodily perspective as of the Jews. But he's looking for his body. The change is at hand. And he's looking for his bride. And like Prince Charming that came to find the little girl with the dishpan hands, that was his bride. Hid from the world, and all the world decked out, but not her. She was busy with a mind to work. And she was the real woman, and she was the real mother, and she was the real wife that he was looking for. What can you give him? What can you offer? What do you have for him? He's looking for somebody, as I say so often, when we're at a certain place called Cabbage Town, a little mission. And as I started into the mission, and somebody stopped me and said, "Brother Pike, I've got something for you." And I said, "Well, what have you got for me, stranger?" He said, "Here." And I reached out my hand, and he laid within my hand a little glass slipper. He said, "This is for you." I took it, went my way, was inspired, preached the sermon called "The Little Glass Slipper," that even Pat Boone was so moved about. He said it stirred him so much. And on the way home, I said, "Betty, do you think this little glass slipper will fit your feet?" She said, "No, but I believe it will fit my soul." And I gave it to her. Of course, I've got it somewhere. But see, this is the thing. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Jesus bowed down before Peter and washed his feet. If I, your Lord and Master, do these things as an example to you, what ought ye to do? Where's your humility? Humility goes before honor. Great honor. If you think you know, if you project yourself to know, then are you withdrawn and then you are in conceit. Then are you hardened and your body doesn't belong to Him, because He is the spirit of humility, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to invite Him into your heart. Why do you go after the body? I have all of that. I have all of that plus. I have it on an eternal basis. I have the spiritual mind of Christ as mind over matter to do what I want to with these little elements called atomic particles that children of the world play with like children do. They're blocks when you're teaching them their ABCs. Folks, be sure not to miss this. Be sure not to miss this. You can miss anything in the world. You can make up for it. But like the songwriter said, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. This is life. This is the true world. This is everything. This is the mind you need. And if you have it, don't worry about the little blocks. They belong to you anyway. You can put them together whenever you want to. Dismantle them whenever you want to. Everything's there. It's all right. It's at your option. Say what you will. And so it will be. You just have failed to come to the knowledge of it. That's why you haven't made the change. And no faith without the knowledge. And Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death once he came to the knowledge of it. See, and that's where we're living right now. Let's sing another little chorus. Let's just lift our hands up together. Close our eyes. I may be gone for a little while. I don't know. I probably would have gone today after service. Maybe to Tucson, Arizona. It looks like that's where I'm supposed to go, and it has appeared that I was supposed to be there from a number of months back. I mentioned to my wife, but I didn't bother with it until everything rolled around into view, and it's rolled around into view. And things that have happened, even meeting the fellow from Tucson a few days ago and what it had to do with, and the revelation positively, as far as I can tell, shows it's a profound thing that it must be as to what is taking place. And as I'll ride the trail again. But nevertheless, the world isn't going to see, the world isn't going to understand. Like Brother Branham said, this will pass right through the church. They'll never even see it. Their understanding, being eyes of understanding, they'll never even see it. Though confident that they do, they won't. They won't. But nevertheless, you that have the Spirit of God, just be patient. Just be patient. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that time is running out? And the Bible said that the time of the promise drew near. Some things just happened in the last day or two that brought the confirmation of the time of the promise as it drew near. See, and with the coming of the horizon and the day star dawning within your heart, the shadows dissipate. And since time is a derivative of shadows, time ceased to be. And with time ceasing to be, death is no more. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for death is no more. Ye that pass from death unto life, what is it but that ye should comprehend this, that in doing so, it should be made manifest as heavenly treasure within your mortal genes as to the change and redemption of the body. So time shall be no more, no more, and
on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. So I praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give glory on people for Brother Richard the Jew to come up. He will. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.